has been going on in my life. So after I was here in November, because I've visited now 4 times since moving away. It doesn't really seem like you move away when you come back so many times.
Hey, man, that's right.
But since November, I visited November, as many of you remember, I'm sure. I joined West Valley Baptist Church in Woodland, California, right in early January, and hit the ground running right away. I don't think I wore a suit until maybe the 3rd week I was a member, but I played piano before I was even a member, so that happens. But I definitely wanted to hit the ground running at that church. And very quickly after I had started going to the church more often, the pastor asked me, he's like, well, what did you do at your previous church that we don't do? Because I talked to him about a lot of things that they do that are really similar to us. They have a song of the month, and lots of other various things. They had a choir. We had a choir. Of all the different churches I visited, no other church had a choir. So I was telling them different things that they had, that we had, that made me feel really comfortable because I was looking for something really similar. And then he asked, he's like, well, what do you do that we don't do? And I told him about the tithing challenge, and he was really interested in that. Now it seems that I am in charge of that ministry for tithing challenges. So we've started tithing challenges. We'd only do it on the first Sunday of the month at my church, but I'm in charge of coordinating who does it each Sunday. And I'm normally the one on the list. I'm the one that has done the most of those. So I got started with that. He also asked, what's another thing you did? And I was like, oh, we did this thing called popcorn preaching every once in a while. And he's like, that's pretty interesting. He said, I think we're going to do that on Sunday. And you have to be in the cup. And I said, well, that's not exactly how it works. I don't care. You have to be in the cup. And so that very first Sunday, it was actually Easter Sunday that night, we did popcorn preaching. And he likes it so much that we don't just do it twice a year. We do it once a month. And so we do it pretty often. And I always seem to have to be in the cup. But that's okay, because the Lord often gives me messages that I have the opportunity to speak. This was actually one of those that I have since developed into a bit of a lengthier message. Other things that I've been able to do in the church, I haven't joined their choir yet, but I do sing in their morning ensemble, and so we have an ensemble of a few less people, and they weren't necessarily harmonizing, and I thought, oh, there's an opportunity for me to jump in and help and harmonize and add to that. And so it's been real fun, and it's been a blessing, and it's just been awesome to be able to get to know people better by being in those ministries and partaking in those. And so I have really I've really enjoyed the church that I found. I felt like the Lord really, really led me to the church that He wanted me to be in, a place that I can participate in and continue to grow. We just had VBS 2 weeks ago. I found myself in another interesting costume. I can show you a picture of it later if you would like, but it doesn't seem to matter what VBS I'm a part of. I have to wear something interesting the entire week. And so that once again happened. I had quite the costume. So before we dive in, I'd like to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to speak. I don't think he expected me to be like, yeah, I got one ready to go when he called me out on it last week. But I brought it just in case, because I thought, you know, you never know when someone's going to need to step in the gap. And
that's right.
And I had one available. So I almost didn't pack it, but I thought, I better. Something told me I better bring it. And I'm glad I have the opportunity to get to speak with you guys tonight. And I always know that when there's a guest speaker, there is a hopeful expectation that they'll get done early, even though you all know who I am, and you know that maybe that's not going to be the case. But I will tell you, I will do my best to try to meet that hopeful expectation of maybe being a little bit quicker. But I'll tell you, I often tell my students that I think class is going to get done early, and then I still go for an hour and 50 minutes. Yes, an hour and 50 minutes in my class. I do that all the time. So I do have the ability to be quite long-winded if necessary, but I don't think that will be the case. So if you would all turn with me to Matthew 21, we'll be jumping around a lot tonight if you want to follow along, or if you just want to take notes on some different references. So for quite a few months, I had this push in my life to want to get better at my prayer life, and I'm still working on it, and I think I'll always be working on it. But this year, I really felt challenged to do a lot more Bible reading, follow a better Bible reading schedule than I had been. I've been trying to add on more of a Bible reading each year. That, you know, last year I did some, the year before I did less, and each year I try to add on more. And in my Bible reading schedule this year, Early on when I was reading in Matthew, I read a verse about prayer, and it really spoke to me, and I thought, I need to do a message on prayer when I have the opportunity to do a message. And so that's really kind of where this message came from. So I'm in Matthew 21, verse 21. It says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And so tonight I'd really like to ask you, how is your prayer life? So we know that when we pray, we should be praying in the Lord's will. We should be asking for the Lord's will in our life. And that seems like something that is obvious. But when you really start to think about some other aspects of prayer, there might be some things that you need a reminder on. Amen. And so tonight, I hopefully will maybe remind you of some things of prayer, remind you of some aspects of prayer, and hopefully also challenge you in your prayer life. Like I said earlier, the Lord has really been challenging me and wanting me to improve on my prayer life. And like I said, I'm pretty sure if you're all honest with yourself, Amen. You would agree that you could also do better Amen. In your prayer life. So let's talk about prayer, but first let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this Wednesday night, Lord. I thank you that we can be in your house, Lord, and that we can gather together, Lord, to hear from your word, Lord. I pray that you would please be with me and give me the words that you would want me to say, Lord. I pray that you would fill me with the Spirit as I bring this message, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with each member here as they hear the message, Lord, and help it to be a blessing to them, Lord. I pray for the other ministries that are occurring in the nursery and with the Wilkersons, Lord. I just pray that each ministry would be a blessing tonight, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I have only 5 points that I want to talk about. So I think they'll be relatively quick. But 5 quick points that I want to make about our prayer life. And the first point that I want to make is that when we pray, we need to pray with belief. Now, I know that seems obvious, but I really want to point out something in verse 22 of what we read that's really been on my heart. It's this particular verse that was the inspiration for this entire message. And so I want to point out some things in this verse that I think are really important that maybe you haven't thought about before. And so the verse says, And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So the verse tells us very quickly and very explicitly, you need to believe when you're praying.
Amen.
But 2 things in the verse that I think people don't necessarily think about are the commas that come both before the word believing and after the word believing. Now, you all know that I have a PhD in communication. I'm an educator. I've gone to school for what seems like zillions of years, and I'm still in, even though I'm not going to school, it very much feels like I'm in school because I work at school. I feel like I'm always in school. I can't leave it. And that's okay because I like it. But because of that, I like to sometimes put a little bit of an educational twist on my messages. Maybe you remember the axioms of communication that we learned in one of my messages a couple years ago. Maybe you don't remember that. But I remember I used communication theory in one of my messages. So I want to talk about these commas. Well, one of the functions and reasons for a comma is that a comma is meant to demonstrate a pause. You're supposed to take a little bit of a break when you see that comma. Well, when you take that pause, what it actually does linguistically is that it's meant to add emphasis. And so here, when we have the commas before and after the word believing, we're supposed to have a pause, think about the word believing on its own, and thus it adds emphasis to the word believing. When it adds emphasis, what it tells us is that this is an extremely important word in that verse. So when we look back at the verse, it's telling us that we need to add emphasis to the word believing. So if we read it again, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. So we really have an important focus on the word believing, that we absolutely have to believe that the Lord can provide the things that we're asking for when we ask for them in our prayers. But how many times do we pray when deep down we don't really believe the Lord can give us what we just asked for? Our human nature starts to set in and we start to think, the Lord isn't going to give me that. He's not going to provide that. That seems too outlandish. Why would the Lord give me that particular thing? When you do that, when you give into your flesh, you've ultimately prayed with unbelief.
Amen.
And if you pray with unbelief, the Lord is not going to answer your prayers, because he just commanded us right here that we have to pray with belief. Thankfully, though, we have examples in the Bible on how we should pray and how we should pray with belief. So we'll be turning to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and we will be in verse 1. This is the story of the Roman soldier that I'm sure many of you are quite familiar with. And in verse 1 it says, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick."
Amen.
So we see in this story a Roman soldier who had heard of Jesus and the miracles that he had been doing. And the Roman soldier's servant, who he was very fond of, was sick, and he's going to ask Jesus to heal his servant. In verse 7 it says, "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." So he's making that request, "Jesus, please heal my servant that I am fond of." But first, before he asked for Jesus to heal his servant, he had to believe that Jesus could heal his servant.
Right.
He had to make the request with belief, knowing that a miracle was possible. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he knew the miracle would happen,
mm-hmm.
but he had to have belief that Jesus could answer this request.
Right.
He approached Jesus with belief when making his request, and likewise, we also need to approach Jesus with belief when we make requests in our own prayer. We see similar type of belief in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, Is it not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour."
Amen.
So here the woman is approaching Jesus about healing her daughter and sending the demon out of the girl. Here, she even has to ask twice to receive her request. But she still asked with belief. She believed that Jesus had the power to heal her daughter. The Roman soldier and this woman both provide us great examples for how we need to be when we pray. When we ask for things in prayer, we need to believe that the Lord can provide them. Belief is an important part of our prayer life, and without that belief, we will not have our prayers answered.
That's right.
So first, we need to pray with belief. The second point is that not only should we pray with belief, but we should also pray for the extraordinary. If we return to Matthew 21, from where we started, I told you we'd be jumping around a lot. Back in Matthew 21, it says, "But also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Here, Jesus is literally, not figuratively, as we often speak in figurative language, not literal language, but here, Jesus is literally telling us that we can ask for the extraordinary, that we can ask for the most seemingly impossible things in our prayer life. In Matthew 19, verse 26, a very familiar verse that many people misquote, but they think they know it. It says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible."
That's right.
So we know that if we have belief, we can actually ask for the extraordinary. But how many of us actually pray with this type of belief? That we can literally ask a mountain to be cast into the sea in our prayers. If we're honest with ourselves, we probably don't pray with that type of belief very often. And the problem with not praying for the extraordinary is that we are putting limits on what we think God can do.
That's right.
And so when we don't ask for mountains to be literally moved, we've put a limit on what we think God is capable of doing. Even though Jesus just told us in red, if you have a red letter edition, or black and white, if you don't, we can literally ask for the most extraordinary things, we don't. And that's a problem, because we're trying to put God into a box of what we think is possible,
right,
instead of what actually is possible. If we think back to the examples of the Roman soldiers and the Canaanite woman, when they asked Jesus for these miracles, they were asking for the extraordinary. We don't really know much about why the servant was sick, but we can presume it must have been some sort of ailment. Think about medicine at the time. You know, there wasn't really access to a lot of useful medicine, that it was going to take something very extraordinary to heal that servant. And for the girl to be filled with a demon, again, going to take something extremely extraordinary to heal that girl. And that's what they asked for. They asked for something extraordinary, and they actually received it. These were extraordinary requests that were being asked. No one beside Jesus was going to be able to accomplish these requests. So both the Roman soldier and Canaanite woman were bold in the requests that they asked for. And we too can and should be bold in the requests that we make in our own prayer. When I think about being bold and praying for the extraordinary, I often think of my sister-in-law, Vanessa. She's been here a couple times. The Dawsons saw Vanessa in South Dakota when they went to Crazy Horse. I assume you, maybe the kids don't remember that, I don't know. But I know Mom and Dad remember meeting my brother and sister-in-law in South Dakota. But my sister-in-law has an older sister, Alicia. And you, many of you know the Bruner family. We're all very, very close. And even though I'm not related to Alicia, she's my sister-in-law's sister. They all go to the same church up in South Dakota, that we're all just very, very close. And so I'm also very close with Alicia. I was at her house for the 4th of July a couple weeks ago. I mean, just the Bruners are uniquely close in that particular way. But one thing you don't necessarily know about Alicia is that she's been in congestive heart failure for over 10 years. A hereditary illness that she has, just had heart issues for a very long time. And she's not very old. Had many different surgeries. Her pacemaker has stopped multiple times. She's not had a heartbeat for almost an hour. I mean, Alicia is literally a walking miracle. And during one of her many procedures, we were praying for Alicia that things would go well, that they would be fine. And I remember a story that Vanessa told me when we were praying for Alicia. Vanessa told me that during her prayer time, she was praying that, you know, things would be okay, that, you know, Alicia would be fine, that the doctors would, you know, have wisdom and know what to do, and so on and so forth. The typical prayers we probably make when we're praying for someone to be healthy. But in the middle of her prayer, Vanessa said, no, I'm not going to pray for that. I'm going to pray for something better. I'm going to pray for something so unique that the doctors can't explain what happened, that they don't know why Alicia is healed or why she's as good as she is, that they have no understanding for why Alicia's recovering the way that she is. And so in the middle of her prayer, she stopped, and instead of limiting God, she decided to pray for something extraordinary. And so Alicia was at the doctor, and then we got the phone call about the appointment afterwards, and guess what happened? The doctors couldn't explain why Alicia had bounced back the way she could. They had no explanation for it. They couldn't. And so in that moment, Vanessa decided, no, I'm not going to pray for something ordinary. I'm not going to pray for what I believe and what I think is possible. I'm going to pray for something beyond what I think is possible. And that's exactly what the Lord provided. And so if we are like Vanessa, or if we are like the examples from the Bible, if we don't pray for the extraordinary, sometimes the Lord does surprise us and actually gives us the extraordinary. When I think about this particular church, I think about this building.
Amen.
I wasn't here, but I've heard the story that us receiving this building was extraordinary.
Amen.
And how many people in this church actually prayed for that extraordinary?
Amen.
And it wouldn't have happened if people wouldn't have prayed for the extraordinary.
That's right.
And so the second point, pray for the extraordinary. So we have first point, pray with belief. Second point, pray for the extraordinary. And the third point that I want to make is we should also pray with consistency. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. My Bible commentary also discusses how pray without ceasing means that we should have a constant attitude or perception of prayer, to be in this meditation or thoughtfulness about prayer. Not that it necessarily means you need to be praying 24/7, 365, because, you know, when would you find time to eat and, you know, do all the other various things. We can't literally pray every moment of every day. But we can be in an attitude of prayer, an attitude of thankfulness and thinking of the Lord and giving our requests
that's
to
right,
God.
That's right.
But besides just being in this attitude of prayer, I believe this verse is also telling us that we should continue to ask for the same thing in prayer, that we need to consistently ask over and over for the same request, even if the Lord hasn't answered that prayer yet. We see a great example of consistency when we look back at the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. In verse 22, it says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. So we see here, she makes a request. She asks the Lord to heal her daughter. Let's continue reading. And then it says, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he didn't answer her prayer. He didn't give her what she asked for. Well, let's continue reading. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. So what do we see in verse 25? She asked again. She persisted. She didn't just ask once for her daughter to be healed. She asked again for her daughter to be removed with the demon that was inside of her. So in other words, she was consistent and she asked for the same thing multiple times. Only after asking multiple times did Jesus comment on her level of faith and gave her what she asked for. So in verse 28 it says, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So we see a great example from this woman that we shouldn't just ask once and be like, all right, the Lord knows it. He's going to answer it at some point. We need to ask
Amen.
Multiple times. We shouldn't just be asking once. Another great example of praying with consistency is the story of Daniel. We know from the story of Daniel that Daniel prayed multiple times a day on his knees with the windows open. Since we know that he prayed often, we can probably also assume that he prayed for the same thing multiple times because he was so faithful in his prayer life. We too need to be consistent in our prayer and continuously ask for the same things over and over from the Lord. Why? Because when we do that, when we ask for the same thing over and over, it actually reveals what matters to our hearts. Amen. It demonstrates what we actually care about. If it's something that we truly want, something we truly desire, we are going to ask for it over and over again. When I think about little kids, I think about how when it's Christmas time or birthday time, you know, they ask for the thing that they want for Christmas or for their birthday over and over again, because it's what they truly want. It's their true desire of their heart. So I expect to hear G2 ask all the time for some Gold State tickets. And you know, I don't live that far from Oracle. If you want to come up to see me, I can take you there. Because it's about an hour and a half from my apartment. So you just come see me and we'll see if we can go. But I also think,
already, brother.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying, G2 should be asking for these Golden State tickets over and over again if it's the true desire of his heart. When I think about my interactions with the Halls, how many times do I ask the Halls that I want to go to Red Lobster? All the time I ask the Halls that I want to go to Red Lobster, because that's the desire of my heart. Same way with our prayer life. When it's something that's truly the desire of our heart, we need to be asking for it consistently in our prayers. But how many times when we start to pray for something, maybe we pray for it a few times, and then we stop asking for it in our prayer. We stop being consistent in our requests. Maybe you stopped asking because you never actually believed that the Lord could answer that prayer. And if that's the case, maybe go back and read point one again in your notes if you've done that. But you may have also just got impatient. And when we get impatient, you might have tried to fix the problem yourself or taken it into your own hands instead of being patient and praying and waiting on the Lord. In my own life, I've prayed for a very long time for a wife. It's no secret that I'm single. I live in a one-bedroom apartment and still just have my cat. I've prayed and prayed, and my current singleness is an indicator that the Lord has not yet answered that prayer. Now, while I've prayed for that all this time, I have two options. I can continue to pray for the Lord to provide a wife, or I could try to take it into my own hands. And a way to do that would be maybe trying online dating or something like that. I would try online dating if I felt the Lord pushing me to try online dating. We all know it worked well for Mark and Michelle. You know, they're together. He just texted me that they're expecting another baby, so yay to them. That was not in my notes, but it just came out anyway. But I don't feel like the Lord is pushing me to try online dating. And so if I were to try online dating, then that would be me taking it into my own hands and trying to answer the prayer myself.
Amen.
We shouldn't try to solve our own situations when we pray about them. Instead, we should wait on the Lord's will to unfold in our lives, because he has a better idea and a better solution than we could have ever thought up or come up with on our own. One way we can make sure the Lord's will unfolds in our lives is to pray consistently for the things that we've asked for. So, we should pray with belief. We should pray for the extraordinary. We should pray with consistency. And we should pray with humility. And so praying with humility is my fourth point. There are two great biblical examples of praying with humility that I want to talk about. First, we'll return to the Canaanite woman. We're still in Matthew 15, so it's right there. No pages need to be turned, unless you felt like turning it earlier on your own. I did hear someone turn a page. I think that might have been Natasha. She must have been doing something. Just teasing. All right, so in verse 25 of Matthew 15, it says, "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. 26, but he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." So in the previous verse, in verse 26, Jesus has basically just called this woman a dog. That she is not worthy to approach him. That she has no right to come to him to make this request. But still, she persists and she acknowledges that she's not worthy. And in her acknowledgement, that's when Jesus acknowledges her faith and grants her her request. So by her acknowledging that she's not worthy, she shows that she's not worthy and humbles herself, and that's when she's granted what she asks for. We too need to be humble when we make our requests to the Lord. So if you turn with me to Luke 18, we'll read another example of similar type of humility. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, here we're learning from Jesus about two different men who were praying. One example we shouldn't follow, the other example, one type that we should follow. So verse 9, it says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So in verse 11 it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like all these other people, including that guy standing right there. So basically in these verses he's saying, look at me. I'm not unjust. I'm not this adulterer. I didn't do any of these bad things while I pray. But that's not the kind of humility that we need when we pray. We see a much better example in verse 13 from the publican, who says, Lord, I'm not worthy. Please be merciful on me. The publican is so humble that he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. That's the type of humility and humbleness that we need to have when we pray. The publican knew he wasn't worthy to pray to God. We also are not worthy to pray to God. We are granted access to be able to pray to God, but we are not worthy.
That's right.
We have no right. We've been given grace and mercy to have the opportunity to take our requests to the Lord, but we really have no right to be able to do such a thing as prayer when we go to the Lord. So even though we know we aren't worthy, the Lord still permits us to make these requests. And the Lord is actually pleased when we are humble and when we pray. As it says, the publican went home justified and that he would be exalted. As it says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I definitely want to be exalted and blessed by the Lord when I pray. And one way we can help ensure that we remain humble is that when we ask for our requests in prayer, that we also ask for them to be in accordance with the Lord's will. And there are benefits when we pray this particular way.
That's right.
In First John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It's really easy to get focused on what we want and to forget about the Lord's will. But when we pray and when we ask for things according to the Lord's will, we are ultimately surrendering what we think is best for our lives and what we think God knows is best for our lives. And then we have a promise in the verses. It says that when we actually pray in the Lord's will, that we have the confidence that the Lord actually hears what we're asking for.
That's right.
So it's a great promise to know that when we approach the Lord correctly with our prayer, that he'll actually hear us when we are correct. That if we're not correct, the Lord may not actually hear us. And what's your likelihood of getting your prayer answered if the Lord's not hearing
you? That's right.
Well, I'm going to say it's probably not good. So it's best to approach the Lord when you know he will actually hear your prayers. So when we pray in the Lord's will, that will help us to remain humble and have humility. So we need to pray with belief. We need to pray for the extraordinary. Pray with consistency. Pray with humility. And lastly, doing okay on time, we need to pray with a clean heart. Of the five, this one I think is probably the most important. When we ask the Lord for things in prayer, we really need to be right with the Lord, and that means confessing sin that we know is sin that we don't want to get rid of. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me."
That's right.
When I think about this verse, I literally think of the Lord plugging his ears and going, "La, la, 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 I can't hear you," when we go to the Lord with iniquity in our heart. It literally tells us in black and white, since it's the Old Testament, we can say it's not red, because it's not red letter edition. We can see right there in black and white that the Lord does not hear us if we are regarding iniquity in our heart. So maybe sometimes in your life, you've been praying about something. You've been praying with belief. You've been praying for the extraordinary. You've been praying continuously, and maybe you've even been trying to pray for the Lord's will. And it seems like the Lord's not answering your prayers. Well, at that point, you may need to spend some time in reflection and ask the Lord to reveal what sin you might be holding on into your life. We all have that pet sin that we go back to, that we fall into very easily. Maybe it's anger, or gossip, or envy, or lying, or whatever it might be. Maybe you have multiple pets. I have multiple pets besides just my cat. We like to return to those because we have that flesh and we give into that human nature. And if you're holding on to one of those pet sins, you need to confess it, turn from it, and continue to pray, and the Lord will hear you when you do that. The publican from Luke 18 gives us a great example of how we should be. In verse 13 it says, "And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
And so right up front, the publican is confessing sin, asking for mercy, trying to get his heart right with the Lord before he even made requests. He acknowledges he's a sinner and asks for mercy. Psalm 51 is a great blueprint for how to make sure you are confessing your sin when you approach the Lord in prayer. Psalm 51, that psalm of David that he wrote asking for forgiveness with the sin with Bathsheba. In verse 1 it says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." So this verse is a great blueprint to help you confess the sin that might be in your life when you go to the Lord in prayer. Whenever I know that I've been holding on to sin and I need to have a serious talk with Jesus, I go to Psalm 51. It's my blueprint for getting my fellowship with the Lord back on track. Likewise, if you have sin in your life, you may also want to use Psalm 51. You don't have to use Psalm 51, but getting right with the Lord before you pray is an important thing to do. So we need to confess our sin each time we pray. And then we know that when we approach the Lord with a clean heart, that he will listen to us and he's much more likely to grant our desires. Now, does that mean we can pray for anything with a clean heart and the Lord's automatically going to grant those petitions? No. But we do know the Lord is going to hear our prayers when we come to him with our heart in the right place. So tonight, think about your prayer life. Can you be doing better in your prayer? Are you praying with true belief that the Lord will grant your petitions? Are you praying for the extraordinary, or are you putting limits on what you think God can do? Are you praying with consistency and continuously asking the Lord to answer your prayers? Amen. Or after a few times, do you maybe give up and decide that you're not going to ask for that anymore? Are you praying with humility and asking for the Lord's will in your life? And are you praying with a clean heart? Or are you holding on to a particular pet sin of yours that might be preventing the Lord from hearing you? Prayer is one of the most important things we can do as Christians. But if we ignore the important principles about prayer that we see in the Bible, then we've weakened one of our most powerful tools. So as you pray, remember to pray with belief, pray for the extraordinary, pray continuously, pray with humility, and pray with a clean heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this night, Lord. I pray that this message was a blessing to those that are able to hear it, Lord. I pray that you would also use it to speak to me, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to have a good rest of the evening, Lord, and get home safely, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.